Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Okay, please be seated. You enjoying the feast?
Yes.
You know, what God has done amongst us is really a spiritual breakthrough. And that's going to lead to breakthrough in a whole lot of different ways in the coming weeks and months. And I'll come back to that a little later on in the message. But first, we've got to learn how to live in the feast. We're not just entering in to visit the feast and say, oh, well, that was a wonderful time, that was a great experience. But God is teaching us to live in the feast, what it means, therefore, to live in the kingdom of heaven here on earth, what it means, therefore, to live in the fullness of Christ, what it therefore means to live in the reviving power of the Holy Spirit. Because all those things are the same. And a process of revival has begun amongst us. That doesn't mean we make extravagant claims, but it does mean that we need to enter more fully into what it is that God has begun to do amongst us. And during these coming weeks and months, that is surely what we will be doing. Now, those of you who were at camp and others of you who sort of followed what God did there know that before we could enter into the feast, God had to cleanse our hearts. Yep. And we use that scripture from Psalm 51, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Now, that was necessary to get into the feast. And of course, if we're going to live in the feast, then it's necessary to keep our hearts clean and maintain a right spirit. And what God, I believe, wants to talk to us about today is what it means to maintain a right spirit. I think it's pretty obvious as to what it means to maintain a clean heart. We've just got to keep walking in His righteousness and saying no to sin. That's right. And to the temptations of the enemy. But we are overcomers. Yes. And you remember the four cornerstones of the feast are the glory, the holiness, the love, and the victory of Jesus. Right. So we continue to walk in that glory, and to experience the glory and to know the glory of God. And I'll come back to that again, too, in a little while. And continue in the holiness of God, wanting to be holy like Jesus, wanting to glorify Him by the way in which we live, living in that love, wanting to express that love through our hearts and lives, and, of course, living in the victory because we are overcomers. The feast really is for overcomers, you know, we've seen that. And so we are going to live as those who overcome whatever comes against us.
Amen.
So we don't get all upset when there are issues, when there are difficulties, when there are problems to overcome, because as those who belong to the feast, as those who have the life and power and authority of the kingdom, we're going to overcome.
Amen.
So all that is good, and of course we've got all the crown jewels that we heard about last week. That is a great encouragement that God has equipped us in every way to be able to live in the feast. Okay, so then, let's assume that you're going to one of the local garden centers because you want to buy some seed. And there are rows and rows and rows of all these packets of seeds. There's seeds for just about everything you can think, every variety of vegetable and flower and so, flowers and so on. And if you were to look along all these rows, I guarantee one thing, you would not find a packet of seeds for weeds. You could go outside where all the bedding plants are and all the other plants that you can buy and the trays of plants, the pansies and this, that and the other, but you wouldn't find a tray of weeds for sale. There would be no market for them. And if you went to the cash desk and said, you know, this is a very deficient garden center because you don't sell weeds, the guy would look at you as if you needed some medical assistance. Of course, he could say, well, under the counter here, I've got a catalog for weeds. We don't sell them in this garden center. They are only available in the devil's garden center. And so he brings out this catalog and turns the pages and say, you know, the devil has got weeds for just about everything you can think of. All these negatives, the lies and the deception and so on, accusation, untruthfulness, faithlessness, rebellion. He's got seeds for all of these, and they're readily available. In fact, he has got a whole lot of missionaries, which he calls demonic spirits, that go and spread these seeds, which is why we don't need to sell them in our garden center. And why you've probably found that even when you plant good seeds, the enemy can come and sow tares among the wheat. And so there is this whole panoply of demonic spirits, unclean spirits, lying spirits, deceiving spirits. And the devil even has special offers, 2-for-1. He has, you know, selfishness and greed. You get 2-for-1 with that one. His desire is to sow these weeds so that they choke the good seed and prevent it from becoming fruitful. Now, what the Word of God tells us is that all our words are seeds. Whenever you speak, you are sowing seeds. You either sow good seeds of love, of encouragement, of mercy, all the seeds that come from the paradise garden center, as opposed to the devil's garden center. You can sow these seeds of love, seeds of hope, seeds of faith, seeds of victory, positive seeds. All these seeds have a positive effect. And when they're sown, they all bring positive results, so long as you pull up the weeds that the enemy sows to try to choke the good seed. Are you all with me?
Yes.
So a good gardener not only sows seeds, but he pulls up the weeds.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
He doesn't want those weeds to be able to have the effect of preventing the harvest, whatever that is, the vegetables or the flowers or whatever. Yep. Now, Paul says an interesting thing when he's writing to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. He says, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that contaminates spirit and body. Now, just because the Holy Spirit has brought you alive spiritually doesn't mean that your spirit cannot be contaminated. And so what the devil wants to do is not just to sow some negative seeds. He wants to try to contaminate the spirit of God's children. Now, what does it mean to have a right spirit? Well, I think if you put it sort of as succinctly as possible, it really means to maintain right attitudes about everything.
Yes.
Now, if you have right attitudes, you will have right words. And if you have right attitudes and right words, you will have right actions. So if we're to maintain a right spirit, we want to prevent any of the negatives that the enemy sows coming in to contaminate the spirit. Otherwise, we will say things that are wrong and are likely to end up doing things that are wrong, whether that was our intention or not. So we've got to keep our hearts clean, our spirits right. Now, how do you discern what is a right spirit? What is a right attitude? Well, this is where the Word of God comes in. And it's very easy, actually, for us to determine what is the good seed and what is the seed the enemy has sown. Now, you see, if you say something negative, the enemy has already sown that negative in you.
That's right.
Doesn't mean that you've got some demon in you or anything stupid like that. It just means you have allowed your spirit to in some way become contaminated by a negative that the spirit has sown, the devil has sown. Now, he might have used somebody else to sow that negative into you. You might have listened to gossip. You might have listened to lies. You might have listened to somebody who is deceived and who is therefore spreading deception. And if you receive and accept what they say, your spirit becomes contaminated. If you take the shield of faith against what they say, then you are being faithful to the Word, because that shield of faith is able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one.
Amen.
So we have to maintain vigilance, or what the scriptures call watchfulness. Yeah. We're to be on the watch all the time. And I'm going to give you some scriptures in a minute just to show you what the scriptures say about that. We have to be on the watch. You remember Jesus said to the disciples, watch and pray so that you don't become the victim of temptation. So it's very important that we are vigilant, that we're watchful, that we are alert to all these negative weeds that the devil wants to sow. The problem is that he can sow them through very nice people. He can sow them through people that we love even. He can sow them through people that we have some respect for. But you see, even nice, good people whom we respect can be guilty of sowing weeds instead of seeds that are good. So this is where we have to discern whether what we hear is in line with the truth of God's word or not. For example, if somebody, even though they may be very nice, starts accusing someone else, then you know that has not come from the Holy Spirit, because the devil is the accuser of the brethren. So when someone is accusing, you know, well, that's not right. That's not a right spirit. And that person, whatever has happened, they have received something negative, which is now causing them to say and to do something that is negative. One of the devil's most subtle ways, of course, is to sow seeds of deception. Because the problem with deception is when someone is deceived, they think they're right, but they're not. And because he is the counterfeiter of what is good, he will often sow some negative and suggest that it's actually the voice of God or the voice of the Spirit. For example, God says in his word that he plants his people but does not uproot them. So suppose somebody comes and says, well, the Spirit has said he's going to uproot me. You think, wait a minute, let's test this by the word of God. That can't be right, because God has said in his word he is not going to uproot anyone, because he knows that you only remain fruitful by being deeply rooted. That's what he says in the parable of the sower. So you are immediately suspicious. Well, are you listening to what somebody else has suggested? Are you listening to your own feelings or thoughts? Is there some issue that you haven't dealt with? What is it that is causing you to be deceived by saying that's the voice of God, when clearly it is going contrary to what the Word of God says? So we have to be alert, we have to be watchful, and not just accept everything on its face value. We're told in Scripture, aren't we, to test everything. And of course, that means that we are the worst ones to test what we hear ourselves. I mean, clearly we can do that and say, well, is this negative? Is this or is it positive? Does it come from the enemy? Does it come from the Lord? We can do that. But when it comes to decisions that are going to involve other people especially, or life-changing decisions or direction in our lives, then always we need to go to those who have some spiritual care for us and test those words with them. We shouldn't be afraid to do that, because if it is God, he is going to give them the witness that it is God. And so that gives us further encouragement. It sort of strengthens our faith to take whatever actions are right. And we know that we're doing it with the full blessing of the whole body of Christ, that the Spirit of God is never divided against himself. So he will always give the same witness, the right witness, if it's a question of putting into place the will and the purpose of God. The alternative, you see, is for this spirit of deception to get in and to people make all kinds of decisions, which they then have to hold on to, because pride says, you know, I can't admit that I was wrong, or I can't admit that I was deceived. Now, you see, it's in ways like this that a wrong spirit develops. And you see the fruit of that. For example, you know, people could belong to a church, and while they belong to that church, it's really the best church. They speak well of that church. Everything is good. The ministry is good. This is good. That's good. You know, this is the, they even encourage others to come to the church. Then perhaps there's some issue that they don't resolve. Some negative gets in. Something contaminates the spirit. They leave that church, and then they say everything bad about that church. Now, you see, the church hasn't changed. Still the same church. But they have changed. Hello?
Yes.
They've changed because something has got in to contaminate the spirit. So therefore, their perception of things changes. The church hasn't changed. The leadership of the church hasn't changed, or whatever. And this is a situation that is being repeated all over the place, the world over. It is a major issue in the body of Christ at this time. One church after another, one nation, wherever I go, I hear more and more and more of the way in which the devil is seeking to uproot, cause division, lead people out of the place where God has put them, God has planted them. And it's very sad because, you see, when that happens to people, if they get that wrong spirit, that contaminated spirit, they miss the feast. They still belong to the Lord. The Lord still loves them. But they can't enjoy the feast. That's why God has had to do a number on us. He's been actually working on it, you know, for months. If you think back to all the issues that God has put before us in Kingdom Faith over the months, He has been doing this, taking us through this process of purifying our hearts and giving us a right spirit so that we could go into the camp with some kind of impetus that could then bless the thousands of people that were at camp. It's God who does the blessing, but of course He's got to move through a people whose hearts are right and whose spirits are right. And it's true every year that we take into camp whatever dynamic God has been working amongst us. Now, what the scripture says about watchfulness is watch out. Because you see, every child of God is a target for the enemy. Every single one. If you're not a target for the enemy, you don't need to be because he's already done in you what he wants to do. But if you're seeking to live in the feast, enjoy the feast, be used of God, you are going to be a target. And actually, the more that God uses people, the greater the target they become. But that's okay, because the more God uses people, the more faith they have to withstand what the enemy wants to do to try to undermine their faith and their ability to stand strong. Remember when Paul talks about having the armor of God in chapter 6 of Ephesians, he says that we will be able to stand. You see, we'll be able to stand against whatever opposes us. And this is the thing. Very subtle, isn't it? Very subtle to have these sometimes seemingly good things, but they're not, because they have a detrimental and negative effect. Now, the devil always wants to bring division, so he tries to disrupt relationships. The devil wants people to be sick in spirit, in soul, in body. So he sows negative seeds that are going to cause depression, oppression. He sows negative seeds of sickness, disease, all kinds of things. In the lives of people. We live in a world where there are all these negative seeds around. And it isn't always necessarily the fault of someone that they get attacked in one of these ways. It's not that the enemy attacks because of sin. He can do that. If you sin, then you make yourself open, really, to the enemy, because you've already colluded with him in some way. But even the righteous, you see, will come under attack because he is opposed to righteousness. Because he's opposed to God. He's God's enemy, so he becomes our enemy because we belong to God. But the great thing is that we don't have to be afraid, because Jesus has given us authority over all the power of the evil one. So nothing will harm us. And even when we have these things come against us in spirit, soul, or body, then we have the victory that Jesus has already won on the cross to give us the assurance that God will enable us to overcome. He can take us through whatever conflict, whatever affliction, whatever it is that has to be overcome.
Amen.
So, what we see is that the way to maintain a right spirit, there's actually only one way to maintain a right spirit, and that is to maintain your faith in the truth.
Amen.
The truth of God's word. And the Holy Spirit, not some deceiving spirit, but the Holy Spirit will always guide us into the truth of God's word. So whatever we hear, whatever others say to us, whatever we hear when we're praying, we test first against God's word. Is this consistent with God? Because God does not change. His word does not change. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his words will never pass away. So his words are absolutely reliable and dependable. They are the words of eternal life. They're the words, therefore, that will never change for all eternity. They are true yesterday, they are true today, they will be true tomorrow. And it doesn't matter what situation or who is involved in that situation, those words are always true. So we maintain our faith. We are a people of faith in the Word of God. And we say, right, no weeds are coming into my spiritual garden.
Amen.
I mean, that's our starting point. I've gone through this process with the Lord of getting a clean heart and a right spirit, and be blowed if I'm going to let the enemy ruin the whole thing. He's not going to take me out of the feast. He's not going to be able in any way to destroy my enjoyment of the feast and being able to live in the glory, the holiness, and the love and the victory of Jesus because I listen to any of his lies and of his negative things. He's not taking me out. He's not even going to be able to hinder me or suppress me or to hem me in with anything negative so I'm not walking in the glorious liberty of the sons of God. I am free, and I'm going to maintain that freedom. I'm going to keep walking in that freedom, and I'm going to say no to every negative that comes against me. So, I will forgive and be merciful and be gracious and be generous and not listen to what the enemy says.
Yes.
You know, you're hurt, you're wounded, you're offended. Because you are if you listen to the enemy. But you're not if you listen to God, because you forgive, therefore you don't take offense. Now, you know, we know these things. I say these things regularly, but they need to be said regularly because I still hear of people that need to hear them. We all need to hear them. We all need to be reminded, because we have negative things happening to us just about every day. Come on, we live in the real world. Don't think that it's easy for the guys up here. Let me tell you, we probably have more to contend with than most of you. But the thing is that you learn that the only thing to do is to overcome immediately. Don't let the seed get sown in your spirit to contaminate your spirit. Because once it's in your spirit, it's difficult, much more difficult to get it out. Because then a whole process of repentance is needed, where you're not only repenting of the offense that you've taken, but you're having to repent of the fact that you allowed it to happen. Because you weren't being vigilant, you weren't being watchful, you didn't take the shield of faith, you didn't employ the witness of the Spirit who lives within you, who was saying to you, forgive, forgive, forgive. Perhaps you didn't even hear him saying, because you were so busy listening to the negative, you didn't hear what the Spirit was saying. Sometimes people say to me, oh, I can't hear the voice of the Spirit. That's because he's been drowned out by the noisy voice of the enemy. And people are listening to the negative instead of listening to the positive. Now, beloved, you see, it's taken months, really, for us to come to the place in the Lord where he can open up the feast to us in the way that he just has. We're not going to lose that. What God has promised us over the years in Kingdom Faith is that when we prosper spiritually, we will prosper in every other way. And you would have to say that that time at camp was a time of great spiritual prosperity. Not only the freedom and the joy and the release that came, but the way the people met with God in his holiness and the deep things that were happening in their lives. However you look at it, it was a great and wonderful time for most people. Of course, you know, there's always a subjective element, isn't there? Because each one of us has to respond to the Lord personally. You can't gain from somebody else's response to the Lord. Somebody can be greatly blessed, and if you're holding on to the negative here, you're going to miss the blessing. It isn't that God doesn't want to bless you. It's just that there's that issue that has to be dealt with that's contaminating the spirit. That has to be got out of the way so that then your spirit is free to enjoy the Lord and to enjoy all the good things that he wants to do. So God has been speaking to us for months, hasn't he, about abundance, multiplication, harvest. Now we're going to see all these things. We're not going to just be talking about them. We're going to see them. You will see that in the coming months, there will be abundance in the finances compared to the past. There will be abundance in the number of people that we see coming to the Lord compared to the past. There'll be an abundance in the healings that take place compared to the past. Everything will become will become more expansive. Everything will grow. Right? Because there aren't the negatives that prevent and hinder the growth. Are you with me? You see, in the parable of the sower, what Jesus is saying is that you remember the seed that fell among the weeds? The seed, there was nothing wrong with the seed, and the seed was able to grow up, but the weeds that were there choked the seeds. And one of the things that Jesus described as those weeds was the cares of this life and the deception and the deceitfulness of wealth. But the cares of this life. Something happens, you know, something negative. You get worried, you get anxious, you get negative, you get something. And Jesus says that chokes the good seed. Are we there? So we need to uproot those things and say, no, they don't belong. I am not going to have a contaminated spirit. I'm going to have a clean spirit. I'm going to have a right spirit. I'm going to have right heart attitudes, irrespective of my circumstances, of who says, who does, who, you know, I am not conditioned by my circumstances. I'm conditioned by the Lord. I'm conditioned by my relationship with the Lord. And my relationship with the Lord not only enables me to survive in the circumstances, but enables me to overcome the circumstances and enables me to believe him to change the circumstances. In the 150 themes, which you all use every night before you go to sleep, there is a section on watchfulness. And it would be worth just having a look at that sometime in the next day or two. This is what God said to his people before they went over to possess the land. You have seen every great act that the Lord did, so be sure to keep every commandment that I give you today so that you may be strong and able to cross over and enter into the land to possess it. Right, now, we have entered into the feast, and to do that, we had to obey what the Lord was commanding us to do. Because we enter the feast on His terms, not our terms. Are we there? Now, we have the commission to take the feast out into the world, to take the kingdom and the gospel of the kingdom out into the world, wherever we go, so that others may join in the feast. That's what Jesus said, isn't he? Go out into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. Do everything you can to get others to come in and join the feast, because it is such a wonderful feast. It's a feast of the kingdom. It's a feast of Jesus. David, when he was talking to Solomon just before David's death, of course, Solomon was going to follow him as the king. He said, "Be strong and manly. Fulfill the charge the Lord your God has given you to walk in His ways, living obedient to all the principles and commandments He has revealed in the written law given to Moses. Then you will prosper in all you do, no matter where you are." Now, let's put that into our New Testament context, because we're not just being faithful to the law of Moses, but we're being faithful to the commands that Jesus has given us. Amen? So, as we continue to walk in His ways, being obedient to His word, to bless, to give, to be merciful and gracious, forgiving, kind, loving, and all the rest of it, as we fulfill all of that, so God will cause us to prosper no matter where we are. It's the promise of His word. And why does God want us in the feast? Because it's the place of prosperity. Not worldly prosperity, as is wrongly taught by some, but spiritual prosperity. God is concerned about our welfare in every way. And some of you have discovered already, and more of you will discover, that in the feast, it's much easier to get your prayers answered, much easier to receive healing, much easier for everything, actually. That whereas before, outside the feast, you were wanting things to happen, wondering why they weren't happening, once you've entered into the feast, everything changes. And everything becomes much easier, as you will see. Yes, there's the resistance, but you even have the faith and the authority to overcome the resistance. Are you with me? So, it's important to maintain our place in the feast. Now, if you think of how we entered into the feast, it was really by making all those proclamations, those 50-odd proclamations of the truth about God and about ourselves, and realizing these are truths in the present. They're truths for now. They're not promises for the future, but they're what God has made it possible for us to enjoy now. And I said at the camp, what you need to do is to take a number of these every day, so that within the course of a week, you are speaking all of them over your life every week, so that you're continuing to live in the good of these things, and you don't just look back, oh, that Wednesday evening at camp, wasn't it amazing? Wasn't it wonderful? What a tremendous release there was. No, no, God doesn't want that to be just a good memory. He says, no, no, that was the entrance into something into which you are to continue to live. And you see, as you affirm those positive things over your life, so then you are in a much stronger position to resist all the negatives. Listen to what the psalm says, Psalm 39. I will watch my ways so that I do not sin by what I say. Because you see, when there's a negative sown by the enemy that contaminates the spirit, the first way in which that becomes obvious is by the negative things you say. And if you listen to yourself, then you will realize, uh-oh, something is not right. Where's that negative come from? It hasn't come from a clean heart, and it hasn't come from a right spirit. And nobody forced me to say it. I chose to say it. Something is wrong. Something needs to be amended immediately so that it doesn't grow into something even stronger that then needs to be dealt with. So I will watch my ways so that I do not sin by what I say. And then in Psalm 141, O Lord, put a guard over my mouth and keep watch over what I say. See, the Lord knows how important it is because your words become seeds. And if a negative has been sown in you and you then speak that negative, you've just sown the negative seed. Now, if you've sown the negative seed and someone is living in the positive, they will reject what you say. But if you sow that seed and someone who hears is not living by faith, is not using the shield of faith, you have just colluded with the enemy in sowing a negative into somebody else's life. I'm sorry to put it that way, but that's the truth of the matter, you see. So we don't want to do that. Hello? We're not doing the enemy's business for him. We're called to be the witnesses of the truth, to do God's business for him. Amen? So there is, I mean, the promises that God gives for living in the feast are just so amazing. Because you see, living in the feast now is just a prelude to the eternal feast that we will enjoy in glory. It's like a foretaste of that which is to come. And listen to what Jesus says in one of his parables. Be dressed properly and ready, because you can't get in without the right wedding garment. With your light shining brightly, for you are like those waiting for their master to return from a wedding feast. Now that's interesting, you see, because when the Lord returns, he's already been enjoying the wedding feast in heaven. So we're waiting for him to come. As soon as he arrives and knocks, they are ready to open the door to him. Now, in a sense, you see, this is what God has been doing in our lives in these last weeks. He has come and he's actually brought the feast to us and brought us into the feast. Hello? But listen to this. Such servants are blessed because their master finds them ready for his coming. And you're going to find the Lord coming to you again and again, in different ways, in the coming weeks. That's because you keep coming to him in different ways in the coming weeks. You actually are going to reap what you sow. Are you there? Now, listen to this. Such servants are blessed because their master finds them ready for his coming. I tell you truly, he will then reverse the roles. He will dress himself ready to serve and will make them recline at the table where he will then wait on them. Isn't this amazing? You'll find all this. You can look at it later in Luke 12, 36, 38. Such servants will be truly blessed, for the master finds them ready. Now, can I just insert there, with a right spirit, yes, with clean hearts. Yes? Even if he comes in the middle of the night or at the crack of dawn. But isn't this amazing? You think, Jesus dressing himself as a servant, sitting us down at the table and serving us? How could such a thing be? Beloved, don't you realize that's exactly what he is doing now? How can we know that from the scripture? Well, in the epistle to Hebrews, it says that even now he is serving us in the heavenly Holy of Holies in the power of an eternal, indestructible life. Yes. You see, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes? He was a servant yesterday. He's a servant today. He'll be a servant forever. Lord, King, Master, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, and yet the one who sits us at the table and serves us. And you see, what God wants you to learn to do is to sit at his table every day. Give him the time, doesn't take long, but give him the time to serve you. Do you remember at the beginning of the Last Supper, Jesus served them by washing their feet? And Peter was reluctant. You will never wash my feet. Jesus says, if I don't, Peter, you have no part with me. And you know, there's a sense in which if we don't let Jesus serve us, we don't have any part with him. It's only in as much as we allow him to serve us that we can then go and serve the Lord. Anybody breathing still? Now, we think in terms of serving the Lord, but you see, God is changing our thinking so that we have right attitudes, right spirit. And one of those changing attitudes is to understand that the Lord wants to sit you at his table. Amen. In the feast. Yes. And serve you every day. Yes. So that you then take his feast out into your life, into your circumstances, as his witness, as his child, as his disciple, wherever you go and in whatever you do. But listen, in the feast, there are no negatives. He will never serve you up a negative. Huh? Because this is the feast of the kingdom. The positive kingdom. In which there are no negatives. This is the feast of the Lord. And in him there is no darkness. There are no negatives. So, beloved, to maintain that right spirit, all we have to do is to let the Lord serve us with the truth, to keep hold of the truth, to say no to anything that is not the truth, to take that shield of faith against every fiery dart of the enemy, no matter how it's come, through whom it's come, or what circumstances in which it's come, we say no. And then we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and we slay our enemies. Our enemies aren't people, are they? They're the negative things that can work through people. We say no, no, no. I don't reject the person, but I reject what he says. Or I reject what she says, because that is not the truth of God's word. Amen? So, what is a right spirit? It's a spirit that is ready to receive from the Lord every day. Because he wants you at his table, serving you every day. Isn't he amazing? Yes. Let's all stand. want you just to close your eyes so you can focus on the Lord, not be distracted. Remember that the prodigal son had sinned grievously, but when he had a broken and contrite heart, when he truly repented, he came back to his father, and immediately the father took him into the feast. That was because that heart work had taken place in him. Sometimes God allows us to go through times of difficulty in order to bring us to that point of brokenness. If you read books on revivals, you see that that brokenness is always what happens in the hearts of those who are part of that revival. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. And he dwells in a high and holy place, but also with those that are humble, broken, contrite in spirit. So if you've gone through that process of brokenness, just thank the Lord that he's led you through that and through the brokenness into the feast. If you still think you're in a process where that brokenness is taking place, then thank the Lord that he is there with you in that process. He's in charge. He is going to lead you through that and bring you into the feast. If God has taken you through that process of repentance, change of mind, change of heart attitudes, change of spiritual attitude, right spirit, thank him that he's done that, because it's a work of his spirit within you, isn't it? It's not something you contrived yourself. You wanted him to do it, so the Holy Spirit worked it in you. If you're in the middle of that process, don't be discouraged, because God is going to bring you through. He's going to bring everybody here right through. He's not going to leave anybody out. We're going to persist with the Lord and come right through into the full freedom and blessing of revival that is his purpose for us, and see the abundance and the harvest and the freedom and everything that he has been promising. So just thank him now that he is your Lord and he is your master. And as you come to him every day, and that's what we need to do in prayer, we come to him, we don't just pray words, we come to him, we draw near to him. Thank him that he's going to draw near to you, because that's what he promises. If we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. Thank him he's going to draw near to you, not just to have wonderful experiences, but so that he can sit you at his table and serve you with all the good things of the feast. Now that's a mighty privilege, isn't it? Can you thank the Lord for that? You know, you need to thank the Lord before things happen, not just when they've happened. Hallelujah. That's a statement of faith. Yes, Lord, I believe. I believe this is what you're working in me. I believe this is what you've begun in me. I believe that you will bring to completion that which you have begun. That you're not a God who walks away in the middle of something, leaving me in a state of limbo, but what you have brought, what you have begun in me, you will bring to completion. this process of reviving me in spirit, soul, and body. Thank you, Lord. You're going to bring this process to completion. And I'm going to see your abundance in my life. I'm going to be part of your abundance in kingdom faith. I'm going to be part of all that you have promised, that you're not a man that you would lie, that you're a God who fulfills his promises, who keeps his word. And I bless you and I praise you and I thank you, Lord. You remember the elder son in that parable? He wouldn't enter the feast because he had a wrong spirit. He had a wrong attitude. He judged his brother. He condemned his brother. He refused to forgive his brother. He was grieved with the father because he thought, you know, the father had blessed the brother, but all he had was a goat. He didn't even have a goat to have a feast with his friends, because he was full of unbelief, full of his own works, full of self-righteousness. But the father came out to him and encouraged him to come into the feast. He didn't want any of his sons, any of his children outside of the feast. His purpose was for all of them to be in the feast. So just thank the Lord that his purpose is to bring you into the feast. And if you don't think you're there yet, then know that the Father is coming out of the feast to you today. He's coming out to you and he's saying, come in, come in. And if you see that a change of attitude is needed, well, you know what to do, don't you? God will give you the grace. God will enable that change of attitude. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. What a mighty God you are. Thank you that you don't want any of us to miss out on the feast that you have prepared for us. And thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that you have promised to each one of us personally. But thank you for all the promises that you have made over kingdom faith. And thank you that you, again, are not a man that you would lie, that every one of those promises are going to be fulfilled. And we praise you for that. We thank you, Lord, that we're going to see expansion. We're going to see growth. We're going to see abundance. We're going to see harvest. Hallelujah. And we're going to be part of it. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Yes. Thank you, Lord. That it's not wishful thinking. It's not vain hope that will end in disappointment. You are going to do all that you have promised. And we are privileged to be part of it. And we just give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. We bless you, mighty Lord and King. Thank you, Lord, for what you've been doing. But we realize it is only a beginning. Hallelujah. Now, just before we finish, see, the feast is here this morning. Had a good time in the worship, but right now, feast is here. And Jesus is saying, I'm ready to serve you. Some of you are going to receive your healing now. I can't say everybody is. But I believe that God is saying, he's coming now to serve you with his healing power because you have trusted in him. Some of you have been walking by faith, resisting the negative lies of the enemy, that you won't be healed, that God doesn't want to heal and all that kind of stuff. You've resisted all that and you've held fast to your faith. And God is saying, because you have held fast to your faith, I'm coming now to serve you, to bless you, to heal you. See, our healing doesn't just drop out of the sky willy-nilly. But God is working according to his preordained plans in every one of us. So wherever you're standing now, you can just lift your hands to the Lord and let him serve you. Say, Lord, I believe right now you are touching my life. In your mercy, in your love, through your grace, with your power. And you're releasing in my life, in my whatever it is, in my relationship, in my emotions, in my body, the healing that I need at this time. God is actually saying to you, my healing in you now. Can you sense his presence? He's always present, but sometimes he reveals his presence. He's revealing his presence right now. Because you're in the feast right now. And his healing power is at work in you right now. Right now. So you can just thank him. Praise him. Praise you, Jesus. Whether that's an immediate healing miracle, whether it's God beginning or continuing a process, he's touching your life now with that healing life. We give you glory, Lord. So just open your mouth now and begin to thank him. Thank him for his love. Thank him for his faithfulness. Thank him for his sense of perfect timing. He always does things at the right time, in the right way. Hallelujah. Just one more thing. There may be some of you who say, well, I don't belong to this feast. I don't feel I belong to the Lord. Well, there's going to be people down the front here that are going to be ready to talk to you, pray with you, just help you find the one whom you are seeking. Because Jesus promises, all who seek me will find me. So if you don't know him, but you want to know him, then you just come down at the close of the service and let someone help you find him. Because you are here this morning because he wants you in his feast. And he wants to love you and serve you. Can we just give the Lord a great big thank you? Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.